Father, we are so grateful. We also thank you for your tangible presence that's already with us. Thank you for visiting our worship with your presence. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Father, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I ask that the same unction and anointing be upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will hear me, those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, Father, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further praise as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this is our school of perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our pattern as well as our goal. It's very interesting. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Christ is the template. Christ is the pattern. So if you're going to follow anybody, you must make sure that they're following as they're following Christ. And the only way to do that is to check them out in the Word of God. It's one of the things I really cherish in the memory of Kenneth Hagin. You know, I heard him say this many years ago. He said, check me out. He said, don't take my word for it. Even though I'm saying, he said, go to the Bible yourself and find out if what I'm saying is in line with the Word of God. And that's so true. And Paul did the same thing. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the Bible reveals to us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 that the purpose of God in the church, bringing the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, was for the perfecting of the saints. And so that the saints, by speaking the truth in love, that truth that they are taught by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they will grow up into Christ in all things. I like that scripture. It's one of my favorite because it doesn't leave any room for human unbelief. The Bible is extremely clear. Grow up into Christ, not in some things, in all things. And I'll tell you something, folks. You know, when you're dealing with men are fickle. Men, that's why the Bible says God is not a man. He's not fickle. That he should lie, nor the son of man, that he should repay. You know, if a man tells you something, oh, I'll give you 10,000 naira, or, you know, and then something happens to him and he doesn't have the money, you quickly come and say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I've not been able to do that. God doesn't do that. That's why I say, he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God will not repent of this word. He said that we will grow up into Christ in all things. And that's exactly what he's going to have. Trust me, folks, God will not be satisfied. And he will not stop working until he has a company. It won't be everybody. Sadly, it should be, but it wouldn't be everybody. But there will be a company of people. There will be people, a sample from the church that will grow up into Christ in all things and demonstrate it for all the earth to see, both sinner and saint. Even some of the saints will be surprised because most of the saints don't even believe such a thing is possible, even though the Bible is very clear about it. And we're in the prophetic time frame for the fulfillment of this because we're in what the Bible calls the third day. And Jesus himself said, a third day I'll be perfected. He wasn't talking about himself. He was already perfect. He was talking about his church, that in the third millennium from his birth, the church will be perfected. And we're in that day now. We actually went into it about 1996 because Jesus was like born about 4 BC. And so we're 25 years now into the third day. I find that very significant because for God to give Abraham Isaac, it took about 25 years. And the promise of God to the church for perfection is similar to the promise of God to Abraham in his old age, you know, to have a son. You know, for years, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a son, you know, and it looked impossible. Just like sometimes, you know, when you look at these things we teach, it looks impossible sometimes, you know, but like we must be like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. I want to shout out somebody. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he had the power to perform. You know, and I'm reminded, I've said this in recent times, you know, I haven't said it for a while, but you know, just like God gave life to the physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah at their old age to produce Isaac, in the same way, God is going to give life to this physical mortal body to produce the manifestation of the Son of God. Amen. It is a prophetic analogy, type and shadow that will be fulfilled. It's one of those kind of things that the Apostle Paul said, this is a sure word, you know, a saying that cannot be gainsaid. Amen. Just like God gave birth supernaturally to Isaac through Abraham, and Isaac was a son of promise. The sons of God that will be manifest in this third day are the sons of promise. They are the ones that will cause everything God has promised to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So we're in the third day. So we're to grow up into Christ in all things, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. You know, in my meditations, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And a thought came to me just yesterday, today. I may have been saying it for days, years, and all that. But he said, why is it the blood, the word, and the spirit? I said, Lord, only you will know that. He says, because it's three. And three is God's number for perfection. I've never given it that thought. You know, it just occurred to me. I said, wow. I said, Lord, that's true. He said, that's the way you perfect the law of God. You cannot perfect it because three is God's number for God. You need those three things. You need the blood so that the channel between you and God is constantly cleansed so that the life of God can flow. Then you need the word, and then you need the spirit. It is those three things, watch this, that you perfect the love of God, you allow the love of God to be perfected in you. Doesn't mean you're perfect yet, but it means you're allowing it to run its full course. That's one thing. Then ultimately, it will now perfect you. And then to stay that way, you still keep the same thing. It's a thing that is a continuous exercise. And so, as you use the blood, the word, and the spirit to operate what we call the seven pillars of wisdom, which simply are the seven principles of the Christ life, that Jesus himself operated when he was here, we know that prophetically by revelation. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And Proverbs chapter 9 says, wisdom hath builded her house, and are hewn out her seven pillars. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Christ is the wisdom of God. So we know it was that wisdom that God, that Jesus used to build his own life. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise up. He's talking about his own body. And you know, he grew. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. How did he do it? This. He hewed out these seven pillars. Honesty, the fear of the Lord, including honesty and humility of heart. You know, praying in the spirit, binding the devil, speaking God's word, meditating God's word, practicing God's word, and fasting and living a fasted life. If you begin to practice these things using the blood, the word, and the spirit, over time, the Holy Spirit operating using the seven principles will be flushing out, he'll be cleaning out the sin nature from the soul and body. The Bible says, you know, he's given us in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is, you know, where he said that, you know, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In another place, it says, you know, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, it's amazing that these scriptures are so clear. It's amazing to me that for years, they're there. And they're not even things you have to debate about. Is in black and white. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present him to itself a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle. He repeats exactly the same thing he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And so these are realities that we cannot escape from. So we're supposed to grow, and we use this illustration so that we can then do the works Jesus did. We grow into his perfection. Cleansing perfection at first, like Jesus at the age of 12, because he's our pattern, and then manifesting perfection like Jesus at the age of 30. You know, you begin to see Christ you know, do all these great miracles, starting with turning of water to wine in Cana of Galilee. You see him heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, you know, open blind eyes, feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, or the other way around. Really, that's immaterial. Either way, it's still a great miracle. Are you listening to me? And the Bible tells us, this is the mind-blowing part of it. He said that we will do those works and greater. That's what he meant. All those things that he did, we will do them, and then we'll also do greater. You see, because there's one area that Jesus didn't operate in. He could have, but he chose not to do it at that time, to wait for our time in the end time, you know, so that his church would do it, which would be the glory of intellectual miracles. See, there's the glory of physical miracles. That's why it's double glory. You see that in Isaiah chapter 61. It's a double glory. There's the glory of physical miracles, you know, which are healing the sick and all of that. And then there's the glory of intellectual miracles that will now bring, you know, environmental miracles, political miracles, you know, all these wonderful, wonderful things that God is going to do. And we see a record of all of those kind of miracles in the rest of the scriptures. You know, in Moses, in Daniel, in Nehemiah, Elisha. You see all those kind of miracles. Now, what God is, this great thing about it is that all of that plus what Jesus did, put it together. Then you now get what God has in. No wonder why he said, behold, I and the children God has given them are for signs and wonders. Not only will what they do be signs, the people themselves become a sign and a wonder, because people will never have seen anything like it. And that's what we are eagerly expecting. And like Jesus grew from a baby to a little child to become a young man, we also grew from being a baby, using the a butterfly, you know, as an analogy, the metamorphosis of the butterfly, which is exactly the word Paul uses in Romans chapter 12. He says, you know, don't be conformed to this word, but be transformed. That word transformed is metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis from, you know, by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove. I love that. What is that good that is progressive? You first of all do the good will of God, you get born again. Then you get the acceptable will of God, then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you go to the perfect will of God when you enter perfection. Hallelujah. The good, perfect, and you know, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But it's a metamorphosis. It's a change from one stage to the other. It is sad and very regrettable that majority of the church has only lived in the butterfly, in the caterpillar stage. And so we think that is the limit of Christianity. But, oh, nobody's ever done that before. Oh, that kind of, it's not possible. You know, because most Christians live and die in that stage. Caterpillar, you know, goes around. Very few people enter the pupa stage, because very few people are ready to make the sacrifice of self-denial for fasting and prayer. And the pupa stage is typified by Anna, that wonderful woman. She only lived in her married life for 7 years. She probably was about 17 when she got married. In those days, it used to be 16, 17, you know. And then her husband died. So she was probably 24. So for 60 years, the Bible says she was 84 years old. 60. You know, we've done a few years, honey and Pastor G. We've done a few years. But 60. And you know what the Bible says about her? It doesn't say she did miracles. It doesn't say she healed the sick. It doesn't say she did. But it was what she did that produced the miracles. The Bible says that she served God continually and did not depart from the temple day or night. It means that it was a project. She'd get up in the morning, have, you know, take care of her house, go to the temple. In those days, that's what they had. They had a temple. And she would just stay in one corner. Nobody knew what she was doing. She would fast. You know, it doesn't mean she was going on a 10-day fast, you know. She'd probably break in the evening, but she won't eat in the morning, in the afternoon. She'll stay there, do some serious intercession, maybe about 3 or 4 hours. By the time they're doing the evening sacrifice, which is usually about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she'll go back home and she'll break. The Bible says she did not depart from the temple. It was that intercession that produced Jesus. And God honored her. That's why it's written in the Bible. The day they were going to name Jesus, you know, they brought him to the temple to dedicate him, you know, after, I think it was 40 days or 8 days. I can't remember which one. No, 8 days is circumcision. Then they now brought him to the temple to dedicate. I think that's 40 days. You know what happened? It's a miracle. When I read the story carefully, the Bible says that they brought the child. Hundreds of children were brought to the temple in those days. Everybody who was born after 40 days. So only God knows how many mothers and fathers were in the temple on that day. You just have this, you know, and it was a routine kind of thing. You know, you would come and you do your sacrifice and the priest will bless the child. So child after child after child. But there was a child. And this woman, by the Spirit and Simeon, they come to the temple at the time. It's a miracle that they were dedicating Jesus. And then they make a beeline straight to Mary and Joseph. How did they know it was Mary and Joseph and not one of the other children? There was no difference between Jesus and the baby, between him and any other little baby there. Glory be to God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. You know, these are things that make you respect God on one hand, and then on the other hand, increase your faith. These things are written for admonition. It tells you that when God wants to do something, He knows He will get it done. They didn't have limit, you know. How would she have known? How would she have known? The Holy Ghost revealed it to her. She's been going to temple every day. That's her normal pattern. She goes there to pray. He said, but today is different. What you've been praying for all of these years has come. And once you get to the temple, give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Mommy. Yes. Mommy is my business supporter. Praise the Lord. Mommy stood up first. Praise the Lord. I've forgiven the rest of you are sitting down. God bless you. I'm only joking. Sit down. You know, I tell you what. God told her. She goes to temple. You see, it is what is your habit that God can lead you through. I being in the way, the Lord led me. So she goes to temple every day to go and pray. Every day to go and pray. Everywhere. But on this particular day, you go to temple normal, but there's something special today. That's why you shouldn't stop coming to the temple. Hello. Those of you who are physical and those who are watching on TV. Amen. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves. You don't know which day will be the special day. Unless you are moving by the Spirit. And say, go to that couple. That child that they are holding is the Messiah. Only God could have told her. Because there's no way she could have distinguished between all the babies there. Give the Lord another super clap offering. I just got another tweet. We haven't even started the message, but you know, the thing is flowing. Praise the Lord. You know, it is in the place of prayer you get leading. See, why was she and Simeon, why were they able to get it? Because they had made prayer a habit. That was why he said, and came in by the Holy Ghost. How? Because he spent time in prayer. If you want to know God, if you want God to talk to you, you have to spend quality time in prayer. Then he will start telling you things. Do this. This is what is happening now. This is why this is this. This is what you should do now. What is it, darling? Thing? Importunity and tenacity. Everybody say importunity and tenacity. That is, you know, the flesh doesn't want to pray. And you know, when you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, after some time, maybe you feel a little tired. Or you feel, well, I did it yesterday. Maybe I just relaxed today. Importunity. Then tenacity. Tenacity means you stay that way until the answer comes. 60 years. It's a food for thought. The woman refused to stop praying. He said, now, it was Simeon who said that, but it applied to both of them. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation. But it took them 60 years. Of intercession And we've only done how many years? 20-something years, and we are complaining. Don't you never say, chill, man. Chill, 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 chill. Repent in ashes like Job. And stop saying you've done so much for God. 100 thanks for that word. We are going to stay in importunity and tenacity until we see the manifestation of the glory of God. Say, Pastor, we've been praying all this year. I'm going to keep praying. I got news for you. Not only will I pray until the manifestation comes, after the manifestation comes, I will still continue to pray until the rapture. I'm going to follow the pattern. You know, Jesus was a baby, then he became a young man, then he went about his father's business, and he began to pray all those years, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18, you know, 20, 25, 26, 30. The glory came. Did he stop praying? No! In fact, he stepped it up. And that one of the temptations that will come to us in this end time, because we're a generation that is used to ease. And we always, and there's and God, this yoke is easy, his burden is light, you know. But what I mean is that, you know, we have this tendency to what you check your life out. Maybe you've been believing God for something, and then the thing comes, what do? Relax. Hello, somebody. Amen. The intensity with which you used to come to church, the intensity with which you pray, you used to go for all night, you still do it, but, you know, because you have got what you want, it's a big mistake. Even after the answers come, you must still intensify prayer. Jesus, he kept praying. Watch this. The Spirit of God comes upon him after his cousin baptized him in the Jordan River. He doesn't go and chill. He goes into the wilderness and goes on a 40-day fast. I thought the glory had come. Well, what do I need to fast again for after the Spirit has come upon me? To prepare him to overcome the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. And watch this, and it's going to be true for us too. The oppositions that are going to come as a consequence of the glory. See, people don't realize that when the glory comes, yes, great things are going to happen, but great opposition will also come. And if you're not praying, you will not be in a place to be able to overcome them. I just got another tweet, but I don't know if I should tell you that one or not. You know, Jesus had three guys that were very close to him. He had 12. He had 70, then he had 12, and then he had three. Peter, James, and John. All of them carried the glory. The Bible says he gave power to all his 12. They cast out devils, they healed the sick, they raised the dead. Do you know James was killed? Have you ever thought why? Now, I don't know all the reasons, because until when we get to heaven. But one thing is sure. Do you understand? One is not the will of God. Bible says, "Will long life God satisfy you?" You know, the scripture cannot be broken. Something must have happened in there. His brother John was not killed. John, of all of them, the only person that didn't die a violent death was John. All the others, Satan kept attacking. And that's what we have to understand. When the glory comes, Peter raised the dead. Paul raised the dead. They had great miracles, but it did not stop satanic opposition. The thing that overcomes satanic opposition is to continue in prayer. And walking with God so that the Holy Ghost will tell you, you know, don't go here. Do this. Don't do this one. Go here. Don't do this one. You know, I love the prayer. It's the Lord Jesus who taught us two prayers. I prayed it recently for some people I went to. Minister to and comfort who had lost some loved ones, and I just encouraged them that they should not allow themselves like Job's wife to become offended. Because you see, when people go through difficulties, they get angry with God. Oh, why didn't God do this? Oh, why didn't God do that? Oh, you know, and it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault at all. Sometimes they just, you know, they may not be bad people, just not obeying spiritual law and putting spiritual forces into operation to the degree that they should. So, Jesus taught us two prayers, a lot, but I'm bringing out the two of them from what we call the Lord's Prayer. The first one is, lead us not into temptation. What a prayer. Now, I want to ask a question. Does God lead us to temptation? No. The Spirit behind that is that lead us to avoid temptation. See, when I see danger or I see something, I'm not going to go and face it head on. That's why he says, lead us not into temptation. That's why you find the Bible says Jesus, when they sought to kill him, he did not walk in jewelry, practicing what he taught us. Lead us not. That's not to say you'll be fearful and cowardly. Jesus was careful, but he was not fearful. And that's why John lived long. See, of all the three of them, John was the most careful, and he probably was the meekest. And you can see that from the record. Even his gospel, he doesn't give you his name until the end. And he doesn't even call himself. He doesn't say, I'm that John. He just says, this is that disciple that wrote those things. He was so self-effacing. Watch this other thing. It's just come to me by the Spirit. Jesus has been killed and he has been raised from the dead. But nobody knows because he has not yet appeared to anybody. Mary Magdalene and others go and say, look, the cave is empty. They've taken away. We don't know what happened. Peter and John run to the cave. They run, but John runs. He out distances Peter, because Peter is probably a little bit older, a little bit, you know, has more weight. You know, John was probably a bit younger. You know, when they get to the cave, Peter rushes in. John does not. It just came to me. Keep careful. It wasn't that he was afraid. He just, out of reverence and respect, the stone is rolled away. Such a thing, you don't rush inside. You know what John did? He did like, they looked inside. Because they were there on Friday after they had wrapped the body, and you know, Joseph Arimathea had given them the body and they cleaned him up a little bit, but they hadn't put spices yet. So they were all there when with the cloth that they put him in, and they, so then the cloth, okay, I can go in now. So but Peter doesn't do that. Peter just rushes in. Don't go where angels fear to tread. Learn to be a little bit. It will save your life. So, let's continue our study this evening in John chapter 16. And in our last lesson, we stopped in, thank you, Jesus. It was verse 22, somewhere in there. Yes. Jesus was speaking to them in parables, you know, and he was saying, he had said this to them. We'll just quickly, briefly go over that. He said, a little while I'm with you, then a little while you see me, then a little while you see me not. So they said, what is this? So he now explained to them. He said, you're inquiring among yourself, you know, and then he said, you're going to weep and lament. So God will always tell you the truth. He will not try and, you know, avoid the truth, because that will not help you. See, you're going to weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful. So it's going to be a time of, you know, where you'll be sorrowful, and you won't be, you know, you'd be discouraged and all that. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Everybody turn to your neighbor. See, your sorrow will always be turned into joy. See, God did not say you won't go through difficult times. I don't know where we got that gospel from, but it's not from this Bible. There are times, you know, things will happen in your life. You know, difficult times. But what God has promised you is that if you stay with God, you will overcome. And then that sorrow will be turned into joy. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. And so he tells them that here. He said, a woman, when she's in travail, had sorrow, using childbirth as an illustration, you know, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she doesn't remember the anguish anymore, for the joy that a man is born into the world. He was using his death and resurrection as a type of a woman in travail and giving birth. Amen. And the woman there, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, being a church, the church, you know, there's the man child, which is us. It also applies to Jesus. you know. And you now hit you now, verse 22. That's where we stopped. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know, there is a joy that becomes eternal. Nobody can touch it. No circumstance, no situation. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, I'm going to say something controversial. I preached years and years and years and years ago, you know, in the early 80s, you know, 90s. And then it just so happens it's a part of my Bible study now. So that's why I'm going to mention it. You hear a lot of people praying to Jesus. And it's not wrong, but technically it's not correct. Can you talk to Jesus? Of course you can talk to Jesus. But you suppose proper New Testament prayer is directed to the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, you don't ask me anything. You direct it to the Father. People say, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. You know what? When you hear people pray, you can get their level of understanding and revelation. Do you understand? They mix Jesus and the Father. See, there are three persons of the Godhead. You will never hear me praying to Jesus direct in that kind of way. I can worship him. I can talk to him. But if I want to make a petition, I make it to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the correct New Testament order. And Jesus himself was the one who said it. I didn't say it. You shall ask me nothing. But whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Another person I don't ask petition from is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps me with the petition I made to the Father. Let's get it right. Understand it. You pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. So the thing that gives me access to the Father is Jesus. So it's still Jesus anyway. That's why I say it's a technical. When we're baby Christians and we're young, God just ignores it, you know, and answers the prayer. You know, but as we grow older, we're supposed to know, you know, and understand the legal order and protocol of the heavenly courtroom. So I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, assisted by the Holy Spirit. Then when I start praying in tongues, it is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in counsel with God the Father that prays out the details so that the thing will come to pass. We have to understand that. And watch this. Each person of the Godhead has their place. Each person. And it's a statutory place that was decided before man was ever created. See, when we say Father, it's actually a title. When we say Son, it's a title. When we say Holy Spirit or Helper or Counselor, it's a title. That's why religious people don't understand. How can God have a son? They say, Olorun o le bimo. Talo bifu. In our language, that means, you know, God cannot have a child. Who gave birth to the child? You see, they're looking at things from a purely natural point of view. No, when you're talking about three persons of the Godhead, you're talking about titles. The title of the person, the first person of God, God the Father, the title of the Son. He was given that title because he was the one who was going to come to the earth as God's Son for the redemption of humanity, which was decided before the foundation of the world. Give the Lord another clap offering, somebody. Then the Holy Spirit is another comforter. He's the helper. Everything you say to the Father in the name of Jesus, the person that is going to bring it to pass is the Holy Spirit. So when you pray, all three persons of the Godhead are intricately involved in every prayer. The Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give him another clap offering, somebody. So we will leave that there. Praise the Lord. But that's it. Hitherto, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. This protocol of asking in Jesus' name only kicked in after the resurrection. It wasn't the Jews, you know, from the time of, in fact, we can go back to the patriarchs, the time of Abraham and Esau and all that. They all prayed to God, but it was never in the name of Jesus. They just prayed to him, you know, as he revealed himself to them. I think I shared this with you before. It was God who said this to Moses. When God was going to reveal himself to Moses, you must understand that there had been 400 years of captivity in Egypt, of slavery in Egypt. All the Israelites knew, and remember that at that time, there was no Leviticus, there was no Genesis. It was Moses who wrote Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You know, when you pray a lot in the Spirit, like I do by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, a lot of realities start coming to your thinking. So at the time God was talking to Moses, Moses did not have Genesis, Revelation. He didn't have all of that. When Abraham was talking to God, there was no Bible. Remember my message, Joseph had no Bible. So how did they pray to God? It was not in the name of Jesus. They just talked to God. Either as they knew him in different names. They knew him as Jehovah. Jehovah actually came later. They knew him as El Shaddai, El Elyon, the Most High God. That's how they just knew him. They just knew him as Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon. These are titles that just mean, El Elyon means the Most High God. El Shaddai means the breasty one, the God that is more than enough. So when God revealed himself to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, he reveals himself as El Shaddai. They didn't know the name Jehovah. Jehovah was the name God revealed to Moses. When Moses asked him, you know, when I go to them, said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, of your fathers. Moses, you know, said, take your shoes off your feet. That's where some of our people got that. Religion is a terrible thing, you know. And he said, put your rod down. The thing became a snake. Moses ran away. He was afraid. God said, hold it by the tail. Thing turned back into a rod. He said, all right. He said, with this rod, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel, you know, and to Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm telling you the honest truth, folks. Moses didn't believe it was going to be possible. And you don't understand why Moses thought like that. I will tell you tonight. He was a prince of Egypt. That's where he grew up. He grew up in the courts of Pharaoh. Hey, ragtag Israelites that have no weapons, who have been slaves for 400 years, and they're going to rise up against Pharaoh. God, that ain't going to happen. That was his thinking, and he was thinking naturally. So God had to now change his thinking and said, with this rod, he said, put your hand, bring it out. It became leprous. He said, put it back. He became healed again. He said, if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. He said, now with that rod, God had to do that. Now was the only thing that could convince Moses to go. Even with that, he still argued. And I said, oh God, send by whom thou was sent. I'm using, you know, our language to, you know, me that I know Pharaoh. They had the most powerful army in the entire world at that time. It's like somebody going now to the United States and, you know, and go to Biden and start talking some rubbish. Just look at you. When Barack Obama was president, I can never forget this. You know, And they were having a debate between him and Romney, you know. And, you know, they were talking about the war and all of that. Then my wife is a PhD in English, she'll help me. You know, he started talking in a cynical kind of way, you know. So, you know, Romney was saying, you know, about, he said, Senator, you know, there are things called submarines. You know, we don't fight like we used to fight, gun, you know. He said, there is no nation. He just gave us a little hint. He said, there is no nation on the earth that has the military might of the United States of America. And then he used this, I can never forget because it stayed in my heart. You know, he said, not even close. Remember, not even close. Recently, America has just gone into a nuclear treaty with Australia and the United Kingdom to build them nuclear-powered submarines. And everybody is up in arms, especially France. Thank God for the French. Another message for another day. But, you know, then they you know, I was looking Time magazine or something, it was online, you know. They now did a list of all the different countries, including Russia and China. Do you understand? And India and all of them. Some had two. I think a few have five. You know, I think China had 18, you know, or 20. Then one of the other countries, you know, all the countries we think, America has 68. And you know what? That's what they told you. That's what they told you for. When the president, I said, this guy must know things we don't know. He said, not even close. See, it's just that thank God that America is a kind of country that is based on Bible values. And they don't go about bullying other people. America is the only country in the world that has fought wars to set people free, not to make colonies of them. All other nations fight and bring you under their control. America fights to set you free. Give the Lord another clap offering. You know, so Moses had that understanding. So, come on. You know, so God said, don't worry, I'll be with you. He said, I can't talk. He's lying. The Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds. God, the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord waxed hot. Because God knew he was lying to him. He said, who has made the mouth? Is it not me? He said, okay, you know what? Your brother, Aaron, he can talk. All right? So you will be like God to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet. He'll be your spokesman. All right? Now go! God had got angry, and Moses didn't want to push his luck. I don't like the word luck. He didn't like just to push it, you know. So he knew that, don't let me get God angry. So he now went. And, you know, put the rod down, you know, it turned to a snake. Janus and Jambres, the magicians, they did their, but Moses' snake swallowed their own, and then we know all the different plagues and all that. But you see, at the end of the day, God now said, when you go, tell them my name is Jehovah. He said, I did not reveal myself to your fathers like that, but now we are going to face war. It means man of war. Give the Lord another clap offering. So, all the guys in the Old Testament, David, they all prayed to Jehovah, or El Shaddai, or El Elyon, but not Jesus. Jesus is a new revelation with the New Testament. That's what he's introducing here. So, he said, when you come and you pray, you say, hitherto you have not asked anything in my name, but from now on, the authority of prayer is in, watch this, Pastor G, and only in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. The only name that is recognized in the court of heaven that will give you legal access to the storehouse of the Almighty today is the name of Jesus. Come in any other name and you are disqualified. The name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus,
every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Another clap offering for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can sit down if you can. Only that name. So don't approach God in any other name. He does not know Shango. He does not know Ogun. He does not know Shokpono. And any other deity, in any other language, in any other tribe. Only one. Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Verse 24. Ah, God is helping us. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. I love this one. And you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Do you know there is a secret here? God wants you to have fruit in your prayer life. We saw that in John 15. And then he gives you another thing here. Every time you ask and you pray for something and the manifestation comes, it causes an increase in joy. He says, ask and you shall receive that your what? Joy may be full. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. So whenever you ask and you get answer to prayer, it increases, it fills you with strength for more prayer. I'll tell you a secret. When I was a young man, I'm still young. Young in my mind. I'm 62, but I'm young. All right? When I first started this faith walk with God, you know, my first year as a Christian, I got a lot of answers to prayer that really encouraged me. I prayed for healing and I got it. I prayed for prosperity to some degree. I got it. One of the first miracles, financial miracles I ever had was when I was believing God to go to America for Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. I was a student in Imperial College in London, you know, and I did not have, I had money, but not enough. I had money for my living. My dad gave me some money, bulk money, which had been given to missions and all of that. You know, I still had a little bit, but for my living expenses, I dare not spend it. And I couldn't go to my dad and say, I need money. Because he had warned me up front. He said, this is the money. If it finishes, it finishes. So I needed money to buy my ticket and to pay for my hotel expenses in the U.S., you know. And I did exactly what Ken Hagin taught us. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. So I haven't got the manifesto, but I believe I receive. So I kept saying, I'm going to America. I'm going for cap meeting. But there was no money. I booked for a particular kind of ticket. It was a special kind of ticket. If you don't use it, it goes. So I think I did a deposit for it. I can't remember the details, you know. But I think, you know, they issued that. But I hadn't, but I didn't have money for the hotel, you know. And the money for the ticket, there was a part of it I hadn't yet paid. I think I had booked it, you know. It was a TWA. TWA was still around that time. It's gone now. They've made other, you know. Till the day I was to travel, no manifestation. Ah, but I'm a man of faith. I went to the airport. Young boys. You know, I don't have the wisdom I have now. I went to the airport believing God. And I think I had this thing of the ticket with me, you know, that I booked. So when I got there, the lady said, oh, hello, Mr. Johnson, you're going to Tulsa? I said, yes. You know, I was going to Chicago and then Tulsa. You know, I said, yeah, I was 21. Yes, yes. Well, this was July of 1980. So I said, yeah. She said, your ticket, and where's your visa? I said, I don't have a visa. She said, I'm sorry. We can't take you without a visa, and this ticket is not. You have to go back and get it all sorted out. So this was Heathrow Airport back in those days. I said, God, what am I going to do? So I said, praying tongues. You know, I didn't know what to do. So I went back and went straight to the, things are different now. I went to the American Embassy, you know, and there was a long queue of people. In those days, you didn't have to book for an interview or anything. Just go. So I just, you know, got into line. So when I got there, I explained to the man that, you know, I didn't know that they had to give me a visa before I could go. I thought I would just, you know. He said, no, you have to. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a student in Imperial College. I brought my ID card. I showed him. He said, what are you going to Tulsa for? I said, oh, I'm going for this. I took Word of Faith magazine. I said, I'm going for this camp meeting in America just for about. So I said, it's very hot in Tulsa now. I said, yeah, I know. He said, okay, have a good flight. He gave me my visa. Miracle number one. I said, I'm going for this thing. So I now went back to my hostel, and I told one of my friends, you know, that this is what has happened, you know, and that the ticket and all of that, the money I need. The guy said, okay. About an hour later, he just called me. He said, God told him to give me the money. You know, I can't remember what it was, $500, something like that, you know. So I was able to get the ticket had expired, because if you don't use it that day. So I went to Heathrow and said the flight had gone. So I said, who can I see? They said, I'm sorry, this ticket is expired. I said, please, who can I see? They said, oh, well, we have one senior supervisor. So I just saw one nice elderly American man, not too old, you know. He must have been, I was in my 20s then. He must have probably in his late 40s or early 50s, you know, white guy, you know. He said, that's the supervisor. Go and see him if you talk to him. So I just ran up to him. I said, good afternoon, sir. He said, yes, what can I do for you? I said, oh, I'm a student in Imperial College. I missed my flight today. You know, I suppose I had to go and get my visa. Here's my visa. You know, please, you know, what can you do for me? And the man just looked at me and just said, come, bring that ticket. Bring that ticket. Went to the something. Just endorsed. He said, put him on the flight tomorrow. Wow, I was so excited. I said, so this faith thing works. It works, though. It works. You know, but there's always a but. You know, I went to America and thinking, yeah, okay, it worked. You know, anything I want, I just ask. Like, but it didn't work like that. It didn't work like that, you know. And God had to teach me, you know. But what I'm saying is that when you pray and you receive, your joy becomes full, your strength becomes full, then it gives you faith, you know, strength to pray more. But then because of the mistakes I made, I had to learn wisdom. And you know, I in America, you know, there was a time I had to go shop somewhere and I didn't have money, and I tried to use my faith and said, don't try that nonsense. You know, and with time I learned, you know. So when you pray, you receive. Then God taught me something, you know, when I came back. He said, look, you know, for material things, you may not always get an immediate answer. And that's how I began to learn about life scriptures. This was some years later. He said, but there are some things you get answer for immediately. You can always ask for the life of God. You can always ask for the power of God. You can, and that's, I'll pray for that and I get that. And I got it every day. So each time I receive, my strength increased. By praying for the right thing. See, if you concentrate only on praying on material and physical things, sometimes the answer will not come because it's not the will of God for you at that time, or you just don't have the wisdom and the strength. But there are some things you can pray for. You can never pray for more joy and not get it. Peace, the fruit of the Spirit. That's how I learned those things. So I now concentrated my prayer life on asking for life, you know, asking for spiritual things, and I will get the answer, and I will see the growth. Asking for wisdom and revelation, I will get the answer, and that will now increase my joy and my strength. Then I could now start using my faith better in material and financial things. So, hallelujah. See, my wife is my greatest supporter. God have mercy on the rest of you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, and you shall ask, and you that your joy may be full. You know, when we hear about answers to prayer, when we pray for Nigeria, you know, and all these prayers we're praying, you know, and good morning, Jesus, and everything, you know, when you see, it gives you joy, gives you peace, and then you have strength to pray for more. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I put it here. I said, answered prayer increases joy, more strength for more prayer. Hallelujah. Now, verse 25, we'll look at that before I begin to start closing. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. There's a very important principle I'm going to teach here before we close. At that day, I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. In that day now. He was talking prophetically in the day of his resurrection, in the day of the church. Because at this time he hadn't yet died. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In other words, you can talk to God directly yourself. Yes, I'm going to be your high priest and intercessor. But you see, you know, you don't have to wait for me to ask God for something. You can ask God and then I will back it up. Are you listening to me? These are great truths. You shall ask in my name. I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In other words, you don't have to wait for me to come and pray to God for you. You can pray to God yourself. Then when you pray to God yourself, I'm getting ahead of myself in Hebrews chapter 4 by Revelation. I'm the high priest of your profession. So whatever you say, I'll now back it up. Now watch this. Great truth, honey. Great truth, Pastor Wega, here. Jesus is not going to do your praying for you. See, people want Jesus to do their praying for them. He's not going to do your praying for you. He is going to assist you when you pray. I will not pray the Father for you. Jesus is not going to do your praying for you. You will do your praying. Then he, by the Holy Spirit, will now pray the details of what you have prayed. The responsibility for prayer will always be upon man on the earth. The heavens, you know, belong to God, but the earth he has given the sons of men. That order has never changed. Any prayer Jesus prays now cannot be legal because he's not on the earth. What will make it legal is when you have prayed. Then you now give him legal access, and then he, by the Holy Spirit, will now pray in you, through you, and for you. That's why you have to pray in tongues. The only way Jesus prays for you is when you pray in tongues, because you are the mouth on the earth that makes it legal. So he now, in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, will pray through you and for you. That's how his intercessory ministry works. But if you don't pray in tongues, you can't pray. Except, again, he uses somebody else who is also on the earth, like your pastor or whoever, your daddy or your mommy or whoever, you know, who will now pray for you, then you work. But you can't live like that forever. The time is going to come. The hour is coming and now is, where every man must carry his own burden. Did you hear me? We will help one another's burdens. But I can't carry your burden for you. I can help you to some degree because I have my own responsibilities. You have yours. Everybody must learn to pray for themselves. This mentality of prayer contractor that has permeated the body of Christ. Do you know that in some places they pay people to pray for them? They even pay them to fast. If you have money, you go to some of these churches, you know, rubbish. People can help you if you're a young Christian and you're weak, you know, and pray for you. That's why we do corporate prayer. One put 1,000 to fly, 2 put 10,000 to fly. So God can take power from this person and push into you. But you too must be praying. I've used this illustration over the years. You know, using the analogy of amplification. If you have, maybe you have a problem and the problem is going to require 10,000 measures of power. But you can only produce 100. Grace and mercy, through the intercession of others, can amplify that 100. If you multiply it by 10, it becomes 1,000. If you multiply it by another 10, so if you multiply it by 100, that 100 will now become 10,000, and then the answer will come. But if you put zero out, and those people, your pastor and maybe some other person like Mommy Sarah or somebody, they pray for you, and then they give you an amplification of 10. Then 10 times 10 is now 100. But it's 100 times zero. What do you get? Zero. Somebody shouted mercy. Everybody wants to put out zero. Let pastor pray. Let Mommy Sarah pray. Let Pastor Boyega pray. I'll just keep putting out zero. It's not going to work. Oh. Let me take that illustration a step further, because it's good to use numbers. You see, that's why in the Bible there's a book called Numbers. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a mathematician. Of all the things, there's no book in the Bible called Pictures. There's no book in the Bible, but there is one book in the Bible that's called Numbers. It means numbers are important to God. For us physics and maths people. So we're very important. Now, listen to this. The guy doesn't put out 10, but he puts out 0.1. So the other people faithfully do the amplification of 10, but 10 times 0.1 is 1. Then the other person also prays for them, and then also amplifies the thing, but that 10 times 1 is 10, but his problem is 10,000. So it fails. It's not because the other people didn't pray. It's because he didn't do his part. Give the Lord a clap offering. That is why all of us must play our part. You see, God knows our different levels of capacity. God is a good God. He's not going to ask the guy who can only put out 10 to put out 100. Put out your 10. And I will supply the 100 amplification to get the thing to 10,000. But when you now refuse to put out your 10, honey, see, my wife is in the spirit. She's just picking it by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of some parts. Of some parts. Everybody has a part to play. I always tell our people. That's why, you know, mommy will be shouting in good morning. You just pray, 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 pray. I tell you something. If you don't play your part, you will not get the benefit. You may not be able to pray as much as mommy, or as much as Pastor Boyega, or any of the other intercessors. You may not be able to pray like them, but you do the best you can. And God is watching, and the angels are watching. When you put out your own part to the best, and God knows that you did the best you could, then he will now bring the amplification. It's called covering. Then amplify that part that you did, and then it'll be okay. Do you get it? What I've told you now is reality. This is not religion. It's reality. You can now understand why so many people, their prayers fail. They didn't pray for me. They prayed for you, but did you pray for yourself? Exactly. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice it is not God who edifies it. It is the body that edifies itself. God helps us. I'm not putting God out of the equation. In fact, we can't do anything without God. But you see, God is working in cooperation with us. We cannot leave everything to God. Everybody, y'all want people, everybody, you know, but pray for me. There's no such thing. You must learn to pray yourself. I got another tweet. You know what God wants? Okay, you are 10 now. All right? So as you begin to learn to pray, your capacity begins to increase. So after some time, you too now begin to put out 1,000. Then God can take from your own 1,000 and take a 10 to go and help somebody else. But you can't stay lazy forever. I'm waiting for some other people to do all the praying while you loaf. Every man shall carry his own burden, but we will help one another's burdens. Is it clear? I don't think it's going to get clearer than that. Oh,
Yes, darling. Look at it in New KJV. This scripture. Thank you, darling. Jesus, have mercy on us. Verse 24. John 16:24 in New KJV. Until now, you have asked nothing. Ephesians 4. Okay. But this even makes it clearer. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. But you ask and you receive. I joined me before. Ephesians 4. I think it's 4:14. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, darling. From whom the whole body, the New King James Version. I don't know. Remember, we preached this message some time ago. Parts, joints, and bands. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what everybody scream every. Then turn to your neighbor and say, you are one of the every. Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody scream it. Every part does its share. Including me. I'm doing my share. Pastor cannot do my share for me. Mommy Sarah cannot do my share for. Pastor Buega cannot do my share for. Pastor Williams cannot do my share for. You must do your share. I didn't hear amen. You know one thing I discovered, honey, over the years? People don't like responsibility. That's what makes the difference between baby Christians and people who go to maturity. That's the difference between milk and meat. When they preach milk to you, they only tell you what you get. They do not tell you your responsibilities. The more responsibilities they give you, the stronger the meat is. Our people don't like our preaching. Nobody wants responsibility. But the Bible says every part does its share. Let's get back to John. Oh, there's something I must share with you tonight. This stuff is good, isn't it? Hello. Like Papa Hagen would say, I preach me happy. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, he said, the time is coming, I'll not speak to you. And that day you will ask in my name. Verse 26. And I did not say, I will pray for you. That's the last point I just made. Jesus is not going to pray for you directly. He's going to pray through you and in you when you pray in tongues. But he's not going to pray for you directly. You must do your own praying. I didn't hear amen. Amen. For the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and I believe that I've come out of the Father. You know this statement is a great statement. You know why? You can pray to God yourself. You say, God loves you like he loves me. I'm going to say something that will sound like blasphemy to the religious mind. My standing with God is no stronger than yours. Jesus is talking. For the Father himself loveth you. So just like I can go to the Father to ask him, you too, because you are my joint heir, you too can go to the Father and ask him. For the Father himself loveth you. Allah, I do you well. You know, go back home and listen to this thing again because your religious mind is not accepting it. The religious mind, how can you say we have the same standing before God like Jesus? That's exactly what he came to die for. That is the meaning of right standing. That is the meaning of I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The same standing Jesus has is the same standing you and I have. Jesus, God loves you just like he loves Jesus. So how can you say that? The love that you have for somebody is shown by the price you are ready to pay for it. The value God puts on you is the value of the son that he sacrificed. So he loves you like he loves Jesus. I don't know if you're getting. May God help us to understand it. So when
You now understand what it means to come to the throne, boldly to the throne of grace, in the name of Jesus. You have the same standing as the Son of God. You know why? You too are a son of God. Religion, religion, religion. May God pull down those strongholds in our mind. Because they are strongholds. Hallelujah. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Glory to God. And I believe that I come out from God. I came forth from the Father. Verse 26. And I've come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. He's explaining his death to them. I came from heaven. I was not born of a human father. God miniaturized my spirit. I left the fullness of the Godhead in care of the other two persons of the Godhead. This will be paraphrased. Then I was inserted by, that's the first IVF, in vitro fertilization. The fertilized egg was planted. Mary was just a surrogate mother. God did the first one. They're doing them today. But the first person that did it was God. God's far ahead of technology than we are. And planted it in Mary's womb. So I came from the Father. I was born. I stayed in this world. I'm going to finish my job, die on the cross tomorrow, go to hell, and then be raised, and then I go back to the Father. Quite simple. His disciples said unto him, Jesus help me. Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. And Jesus answered them, said, do you now believe? I said, behold, the hour cometh. I'm going to stop here. We'll take you from here next week. Behold, the hour cometh, and yea, is now come, and you shall be scattered, every man to his own. This is one of the statements I love in the Bible. And shall leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone. Because the Father is, you see, the Father is invisible. But Jesus always seeing him, sees him who is invisible by faith. I'm alone, but I'm not alone. He's telling them, we're going to close. What's going to happen in a few hours' time? This is between what we call the Last Supper, and they're on the road to, they're walking, and he's telling them, that's why John could record it. You know, they were talking, and Jesus was telling them all of these things on the way to Gethsemane. It was probably about 8, 9 o'clock in the night, you know. So get to Gethsemane, you know, so Jesus is telling them, he said, you know what's going to happen? He said, you say you believe. He said, but something's going to happen, and all of you will scatter. So when they arrested him, the Bible said, every man fled. He said, but don't get all bent out of shape because of that. Don't let that all disturb you, you know. You leave me alone, but I will not be alone. The Father is going to be with me. Stand to your feet. As Christians, we need to understand something. You are never alone. I say something, I said to my wife, I said many times, I may be alone, but I'm never lonely. Never. Why? God's with me. And by faith, our abode with him. God is always with us. The problem is many times we don't exercise our faith to see him that is invisible. Once that becomes a reality to you, even when you have problems, and you know when you have problems, you are looking for somebody to talk to. Have you heard that before? Three of them are there. You're looking for somebody to talk to. I'm here. I'm talking about the Lord, the Holy Spirit. He said, why do you think I came? So you can have somebody to talk to. Oh, yeah, talk. What's it disturbing you? What's it that is troubling your mind? Talk in English or Yoruba. Then talk in tongues. He said, I can understand tongues better than that English. And with these tongues, I will be able to tell you things you don't know. And that thing you're worrying about, I will take care of it. Chill. Give him a clap offering, somebody.
You're alone, but you are not alone. You may be alone, but you should never be lonely. You should develop and cultivate the consciousness of the reality of the presence of God. I close with this. And that is why God gave us tongues. When you speak in tongues, it is the supernatural physical evidence of the reality of the invisible God. That is why, can you handle this? It's going to blow your mind. Just around the same time that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was returned to the earth in Topeka, Kansas, in January 1, 1901, it was about the same time radio was discovered. There was a parallel in the spirit and in the physical. Radio waves are invisible. How do you know they are there? By the voice you hear from the radio. They call it wireless. Invisible. Nothing is touching it, but the radio is talking. Jerry. It's supernatural. It is. At a particular level. Are you listening to me? So come, I'm speaking a language. Who's doing that? The Holy Ghost. Just like radio waves cause radio and television to talk without physical contact. When you speak in tongues, you are telling yourself that God is here. The invisible God is here, even though I can't see him. Now let's talk to God. Let's talk. If I go on, you won't live here tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation. And it came at the same time with the Holy Ghost. Marconi. Radio was 1901. 1900. See, every time there is a new development in the spirit, there is a corresponding one in the natural. As a token. So you guys will know, you know, that there's something. That's why so much in the last century went from radio to Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, that began. So it is with all that background now we can understand certain things in the Bible. There are many things we can't understand if those, you know, natural discoveries were not there. It's easy now to explain spiritual things using electrons and all of these things. Because we now know that they are real. Even though I can't see them. Let your Holy Spirit
come over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control
of every situation,
that has troubled my soul.
All my cares
and burdens unto you.
Let's start again. Let your living water.
Let your living waters flow over my soul.
Hallelujah.
Let your Holy Spirit come and take control
of every situation.
Trouble my soul, all my cares and burdens unto you I roll.
Hallelujah.
Come now, Holy Spirit, and take.
Raise your hand to God. You must let the Holy Spirit be real to you. And it comes by practice. Practice. Speaking tongues. Then you're just not just talking. You know, you're talking to somebody. You're talking to somebody. And he's there. See him that is invisible. The Bible says Moses endured as seeing him that is invisible. It gives you endurance. When you something you can't even talk to any human being about, they won't even know, they won't even have an answer, but God has the answer. Say, talk to me. I'm here, I'm your friend. There's nothing you cannot tell me. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that we have shared tonight. Thank you for letting me know. Put it me into remembrance that I can come to you in the name of Jesus. And as I receive answer to prayer, my joy, my strength will be full. Father, thank you that Jesus doesn't even have to pray for me. That I can come myself because you love me. You love me like you love Jesus because his life and his blood was the price that you paid for me. Father, I am appreciative. Thank you. Thank you. Oh Lord, I come to you. I ask for help. I ask for mercy. I ask for grace. Help me to practice your presence. That your presence that is with me will be real to me. Be made more and more real to me. That when I'm in trouble, when I need somebody to talk to, that I will find talking to you sufficient. That when I talk to you and you speak back to me by your spirit through your word, I will have peace. I'll have satisfaction better than I could by talking to any other human being. Lord, help me to know you more in Jesus' name. Nikatoska frenengar dolosk. Rema predele mashalik. Mercy, Father, rapikoto frede. Mercy, Father, laprikatolo mashaliko koko fredelike doroma. Mercy, Father, thank you, zakatlamatolomato fredes. Lord Jesus, thank you, laprikatolomato fredes. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you, lambrikatolomato fredes. For your blood, shelleprikatolomato fredengaras. For your life, shelleprikatolomato fredes. For your power, nengara, lambrikatolomato skafre, lambrikatolomasha, lepridolom. Zifri, Ratolo Moshe, Rengara, Lopriketolo, Lambre de Fredes, Nofride Glamatolom to Fredes, Dolom to Frede Glamatolom to Fredes, Dolom to Fresh, Nea to Fredengara, in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you have need of healing, just like we said, he's invisible, but he's here. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It's a reality. Just
Put your hands out. If you need healing or you need deliverance for your mind. The healing power is already in the air. All you just have to do is to receive it. I come against spirits of infirmity. I cast you out, destroy your works, and bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of oppression and depression, of inferiority, of superiority, of pride, I cast you out, destroy your works, and bind you in Jesus' name. Now just say, I receive my healing and I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen.